Secondly, I want to invite Dave Giles up for this part. This is huge. We need to get this identity initiative moving forward. I've asked Dave to come and handle this, and I really think if we're going to be all that we can as a fellowship, and I've heard this in a lot of different places, we've got to get clear on who we are. You know, we've got so much, and we've got different people that have different ideas of who we are, and we need to have this discussion. We need to work through it. We need to be able to put it down on paper, say, this is who we are. So when people ask us, we can tell them who we are. We can start inviting people to join with us in our mission. And I believe Dave is the guy to lead this, and we've commissioned him to do this. And Dave's going to describe the process that we're going to work through to do that.
Well, thanks, Bartley. And as I begin, let me just say what a delight it's been to have all of you in our new hometown this week. I mentioned on Friday night that so many of you have supported this move logically, but I think now from your hearts, you can say it is right for our cross-cultural ministries arm to be here in Atlanta. So thanks, guys, for that. A couple years ago, Bob Federhoff approached me and said, would you consider leading a discussion about our statement of faith, about our identity, about those things? And wow, that's when, as Grace Brother International Missions, we were facing a name change potentially and a relocation change. And that just felt like more than anyone could probably have on their plate and remain sane. And so I said, probably not the time now. But that conversation resurfaced in the fall and then really moved toward a very significant meeting with the Fellowship Council in January when I had the opportunity to unpack for them, if you want me to take this and to try to lead this discussion, here are some convictions I want to try to live out. And I was so pleased with the discussion and then with the unanimous affirmation of these 5 points, which I can only touch on briefly. But I said to them, I think this whole discussion needs to ultimately produce something new. Our current statement of faith is a good statement of faith. And as you and as God is my witness, I happen to agree with all of it. So I have no agenda coming into this thing. There's no secret torpedo I'm hoping to get some part out of it. I happen to like it all. But it was something that was written in the 60s, and it had a certain purpose and a certain focus. And to spend all of our time trying to tweak that does not sound to me like a profitable way for us to move forward. So I said, I really think we need to produce something new. Secondly, I said, let's make sure this has a relational focus. In my own perception, when we produced the statement of faith, or at least when my father was a part of that and grandfathers and those sort of thing back in 1960 or so, I think we had a lot of emphasis on wanting to determine what distinguishes us or distinguished us from others who were really, really like us. We could use our statement of faith and say, now we know why we're not conservative Baptists or something like that. And a lot of emphasis was placed on those kinds of distinctions. But in today's world, we realize we have a much bigger issue to deal with here. And how do we speak truth into the Buddhist, animist, Hindu, secular worlds, and so forth, Muslim world? And how do we demonstrate that we're a part of Orthodox Christianity historically? How do we identify with the global evangelical community? How do we define what our tribe is? And so that relational focus needs to be a part of that. Third, I said, from my perspective, this process that we're going to engage now is extremely important. There's points when I almost want to say the process might be as important as the product. That is how we go about dialoguing and defining what we believe. A number of us are wearing scars from discussions in the past, and we don't want to engage in that kind of behavior. And probably the best way I can summarize this is I would just be so honored to in some way be used of God to lead us through a discussion over the next couple of years about defining what we believe in such a way that our children say, that's the way we're supposed to talk about doctrine. That's the way we're supposed to express things. Even when we feel deep convictions, we want to model any discussions we have the way that our parents and grandparents might have done that when they talked about the identity initiative. And so we have the opportunity over the next couple of years to just learn, let's say it this way, to play in the sandbox, perhaps in ways different than we've done in the past. So I've said these three things already. We're talking about something new, something that builds on what's come before, but isn't just tweaking things that have been produced in the past. Something new, a relational focus, a process which is quite important here and perhaps as important as the product. Fourthly, I've said we really have to have a focus on the next generation. I'm 52. I'm willing to say my age, but when you get my age, you're willing to say it. So, okay, you're 42. Okay. Thank you. I got that out of him. I didn't know. But the focus on the next generation says this, we might all come to an agreement, but if what we produce is not useful to our children, then they're just going to have this same discussion in a couple of years. Let's engage them and invite them to the table, make this multi-generational so that it can be one of the gifts that we pass to those who follow us, pass along to them. And finally, I've said to them, we really must insist on not doing this alone. We all know it was announced in one of our sessions. I think you've heard these numbers before. We're probably less than 90%, or we're less than 10%. The global Grace Brethren Fellowship in terms of number of churches is probably 90% of who we are now. 95% of us worship God on Sundays, not in English. We are a small part of a much bigger fellowship. And what we do here, though, is extremely important. It's being watched by our brothers and sisters around the world. And we have the opportunity, as we engage in this theological discussion, to do it in a way that we've never had the privilege of doing it before, and that is to do it in dialogue with brothers and sisters from Europe, from Latin America, from Africa, from Asia. And I'm personally extremely excited about that. And what is so cool in the providence of God about all this is that our Charis International Committee that brings together the Global Fellowship of Grace Brethren Churches also agrees that this is the period of time when we need to be talking about our identity and about our theology and about our doctrine, the way our theology is expressed. And so as we engage in this dialogue over the next couple of years, we need to be in much prayer for our brothers and sisters around the world who will be following a similar process. And Lord willing, and I really hope the North American church, that we are prepared for this. We are going to have an international gathering in the fall of 2015, where for the first time in our history, we can produce something that says, this is what the global movement of Grace Brethren believe. That's pretty cool. Not because it was passed down to us or translated from another, you know, language or anything like that, but something that we produced together. And we have something positive to build on. I am so proud of the way that we responded in North America to the 2008 Charis document, the Commitment to Common Ministry. And as delegates came together from around the world and said, this is what ought to guide the mission of our movement, that we focus together on church planting, on leadership training, and on integrated ministries, we adopted that. We didn't feel like we had to tweak it. We didn't feel like we had to make it better and send it back. We didn't feel like we couldn't own it because we didn't design it here. And I was there during the 5 days in which it was produced, and it was a real work of God. And I thought, wow, this is really cool. And now could we do something similar as we work together and express in a fresh way those things that have held us together for many, many years? And so we are wanting not to do this alone. And so our goal really is that we, as the North American expression of the Grace Brethren Church, be well prepared. Because we've talked, we've worshiped, we've prayed together, we've dialogued, we've heard different points of opinion here. And together we are ready then to sit at the table with representatives from across the Grace Brethren world and say, now we can produce in 2015, this is what we as a global movement believe. And so that's our prayer, and that's how we hope to take this thing. Am I a little bit afraid about this? We're really living a good moment right now. Let's not ruin it, okay? No, just kidding. But I do think it's time for us to engage in this kind of dialogue, and I look forward to talking with many of you about it. I'm a facilitator in this. I'm trying to get the right people to the table, and the first opportunity to do that will be in our focus retreats in this next cycle. Bartley has asked me to give some leadership to those. And so this is the way we just want to say it. If you are eligible to be at a focus retreat and you choose not to come this year, I'm afraid you're going to be several steps behind in a regional and national discussion about what we believe and what we value. We're going to focus especially this year on what values we want to pass along to the next generation. And then the next year, we're going to focus a little bit more in some format. I don't know if it'll be focus or some other way on those things that we believe. And I see Joel nodding his head. The AGBM wanting to support this is going to be help giving some scholarships, 20% off to AGBM members that want to participate. I get one of those. I don't need that money, Joel. I'm going to give it to somebody else who may not be able to do that and even afford the 80%. And maybe a number of us in the room will be doing that. So I really covet your prayers for the Identity Initiative. Thanks.